Yesterday only exists in fading memories, in worn-out photographs, history books. It's a collection of oftentimes imperfect records kept in imperfect medium. And yet it's also one of the finest learning centers available, if we're willing to go to it and learn. Paul had the opportunity to teach the Philippians many things. And we look over in Philippians chapter 4, and starting with verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And opportunities actually arose for the Philippians to repay what Paul had done for them. And in verse 10 he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." And that opportunity then reminded Paul that in the past he was taught many things. Starting with verse 11, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." We not only learn from our experiences, but we also learn from other people as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and starting at verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We can learn from our families. We can learn from other faithful Christians. If you go back to chapter 2 in 2 Timothy, and in verse 2, "The things which you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." But the greatest teaching that we have is the record that we call the Bible. And in Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And unlike our recollections of yesterday, the Bible is maintained by the perfect God, and it will not fade away. Take a look at what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 23. "For you have been born not again of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you." One of the things we need to understand, there's no living space in yesterday. You can't stay there. Can't even accurately recall it. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 10. "Do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. The problem is we don't remember things real well. What we remember of yesterday is too often larger than life. What we remember and what truly happened usually are different. Even then, we emphasize some points. And we ignore others because, well, that's our nature. We like to dwell on certain things and forget about others. Put a set of people in a room to observe an event. And each one will give a different account. Even when each is being totally truthful. You know, yesterday things happened to me. But my memories are selective. For some, the memories of yesterday are pleasant. But for others, it's haunted house. Place to be avoided. Many people have memories of regrets, mistakes, failures that they would like to forget. But the truth is that we can't always control what happens to us. We can only control our reaction to them. Take a look at James. James chapter 1. And starting at verse 2. James chapter 1. Starting with verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Paul put himself and looked at his past. And he didn't have pleasant memories always of the past. In fact, take a look what he said in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 13. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and used to destroy it, or try to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Paul looks back and he's embarrassed about his past. But what we have to understand is that yesterday doesn't control our future. Some people have yesterdays of faithful service to God. But not today. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I handed over to Satan so that they would be taught not to blaspheme. They had something in the past, but they made a wreck of it. Or in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and starting at verse 4. For in the case of those who had once been enlightened and have tasted of heavenly gifts, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. And there are some people who, like Paul, have passive evil, but not today. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 again, this time at verse 13. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. You know, we might have good intentions in our past, but what are our intentions today? Take a look at Acts chapter 24. Acts 24, and in verse 25, and as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." As far as we know, Felix never did summon Paul back, not for that discussion. Perhaps there were plans that, for things that we could have done. If only we had better circumstances. But what are you doing with what you have right now? Take a look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse 29. "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. And so you testify against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." But we have to understand that God's standards of judgment is not about yesterday. God judges us based on today. In Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel 18, and starting at verse 20, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the son bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he committed and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions which he had committed will not be remembered against him. Because his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he had done will not be remembered. For his treachery which he has committed, and his sin which he had committed, for them he will die. Yet you say that the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity, which he has committed, he will die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions, which he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from your transgressions, so that the iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make for yourselves new hearts and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. So why should anyone die today? Yesterday only tells us how we arrived to this point now. Tomorrow is ahead of us. And we don't have to continue down the same direction. Take a look at Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 and in verse 3. I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Today is an opportunity to make your soul spotless with the crucified blood of the Son of God. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and starting at verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. If there's anyone here today who wishes to be freed from sin, you can't rest on the past. You can't let the past control your life. Today is a new day, and now's the time to make your soul right. If there's anyone here who wishes to become a child of God, this is the time to do so. If there's anyone who is a child of God, would like the prayers of your brethren, again, let your wants known while we stand and sing the song selected.